The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. You may be listening to this and being a little bit bleary-eyed and exhausted, undoubtedly because you're not getting enough sleep. Well, the man to fix that is here now. He is sleep expert Tom Coleman, host of the Sleep and Health Podcast. Morning, Tom.
Good morning.
We will get to general sleep, but I can't let it go without starting on it because it is so interesting. We were talking during the break there before this started, and you were talking about the eye and its role in setting your circadian rhythms and how blind people need light to get their circadian rhythm set. Explain that.
Okay, so we have special cells in the back of our retina. They're called photoganglion cells. And they are activated by light. Now, these cells have a direct line into the master timer of your sleep and circadian rhythm in your brain, a region called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. So these cells are activated and that aligns the timer, our 24-hour timer. Now,
so even if my eye doesn't function to let me see things,
correct,
it can still do that.
If you have those cells present and your eyes don't function to see things, it can still align your circadian rhythm. But people who have completely lost their eye, unfortunately, their sleep is all over the place because they haven't got that alignment.
So it is to do with, it is the exposure to daylight in whatever form that gives us that circadian rhythm. It's not when I get out of the bed.
It's internal, so we have external influences. It's not just governed by that, but it is known as Zeitgebers or time givers. So light is the master switch. Light is the most powerful lever in aligning this timer.
Now, we were talking about this because we were talking about the kind of the research that has been done into sleep and the significant revolution that has happened in sleep research in the last 10 or 20 years. A lot of that research revealing that poor sleep or not enough sleep has the kind of damages that obesity, smoking, poor lifestyle have. It can be hugely problematic.
Absolutely, hugely. If we see what happens during sleep, like, you know, you mentioned obesity and things like that, and much of them and chronic disease, they're inflammatory. Now, sleep helps mediate inflammation in the body. It helps regulate the systems. It helps clear out and clean. Like, your brain is cleaned at night, lymphatic drainage. That was only discovered in 2013 by a Danish neuroscientist. So there's so many critical functions that are happening at night while we sleep, in light sleep and deep sleep. And if we miss out on those, then we suffer. And there are consequences.
How long should we be getting?
Most scientists will tell us 7 to 8 hours, 7.5 hours, 5 90-minute cycles. But sleep is very personal. Some people require more. Some people are fine on less.
You talk about the 90-minute cycle. This is the way that you move in and out of REM through the night and the depth of sleep.
Correct. We go from stage one, stage two, stage three. We're falling deeper and deeper and deeper. And then we dream. Each 90-minute cycle is different. So in your first 90-minute cycle, you're only dreaming for about 5 minutes. Your last cycle, you're dreaming for an hour. So as the night is going on, your sleep is getting lighter. And that's one reason why people may wake up.
How do you then ensure that you can get the 7.5 to 8 hours that are ideal, providing those 5 cycles?
Oh, wow. Well, now there's a question. So I'll use the acronym of sleep itself. Okay, so the S is for stress. The same systems that regulate stress regulate sleep. So we have to regulate the nervous system and, you know, calm things down. So get stress under control. So the next is technology. We have to be very mindful of technology, that we're getting off the tech, because that can be highly disruptive to sleep. Exercise is another huge...
I'm sorry, just with the acronyms. So that's sleep. I assume that's light from the technology.
Sorry, light.
Sleep,
yeah.
Light.
Sleep,
stress, light.
Stress,
exercise.
Light. Exercise, electronics, and practice and patience, because we have to set up a good sleep routine. So be more active, obviously. Get off the electronics. They will disrupt sleep in many ways. And not just sleep. Our threshold to deal with difficult situations is actually disrupted by how much time we spend scrolling.
What about people who self-medicate to get to sleep, either with pills or with alcohol? I assume that greatly impacts on the sleep cycles.
My father once said to me, I'm not worried about the problem you have, I'm worried about the solution you're using. So it would be the same for me. Alcohol really does disrupt sleep. It interferes with REM sleep and how deep you go in sleep. So it's not a good solution. It shuts off your prefrontal cortex. And that's kind of one reason why it helps knock the racing mind off and help put you to sleep. I would look at all of the lifestyle factors first. And those are your first port of call. Speak to your doctor, speak to your medical professional if you need further help.
The other bad news, as I understand it, is that the sort of sense that we have that we can, quote, catch up on sleep. There'll be people looking at the bank holiday thinking, it's all right, I'll stay in bed for 14 hours and I'll get it all back. That doesn't work.
It doesn't really work. I mean, look, we should take opportunities if we have accumulated sleep debt, but one good night is not going to make up for five bad nights. It's as simple as that.
So for people who are listening to this and saying, yeah, that's all well and good, I can control my stress, I'm getting the exercise, I'm avoiding the electronics, and I'm still staring at the ceiling in the dark at 3 o'clock in the morning. What's the silver bullet, or is there one?
Okay, so here's the thing. We don't want to associate the bed with a place we suffer and struggle. So get up after a certain time period, 30 to 40 minutes, get up. And then when we feel tired, go back to sleep. And that is the first frontline solution. At some point, if that's not working, then just give up and rest in bed. And that can often, you know.
But you're saying if you get to 1 o'clock in the morning or half one and you're lying there awake, get up, go downstairs,
get up, read a book, practice your putting in the kitchen, maybe do something which doesn't involve a huge amount of thinking or analysis. And when you feel and get cold, temperature is a key regulator of melatonin production as well. So if you get the body cold, it will increase melatonin. And go back to
get
to bed.
Cold.
Yes, get cold. Temperature is what regulates your body temperature changes, again, regulated by your circadian rhythm. The body must cool by 1 to 2 degrees in order to achieve sleep. So get cold is the first thing.
A text saying, do melatonin supplements cause any harm or are they safe?
It's not a supplement. It's a very powerful hormone, and that's why they're only prescribed by your GP. They will not keep you asleep. They're only concerned with sleep onset. So be careful. It's not a long-term solution.
Why are medics so slow to prescribe sleeping tablets if it is so important? Says a chronic insomniac, self-described chronic insomniac who's done everything right, they say.
Because doctors now know that ultimately they're a very blunt instrument and they can disrupt your own sleep in the long term. So they're not a great long-term solution.
A text saying, my husband does a month of day shifts and then a month of night shifts alternating. Would Tom recommend a lamp that would help his circadian rhythm? His shifts are 7:30 to 7:30.
Absolutely. Seasonal affective disorder is something that we have in latitudes north and south of 30 degrees. It's non-existent in the tropics. A sad lamp, highly recommended to align your circadian rhythm if you're getting up when it's dark or going to bed when it's dark. So yeah, definitely.
Where do you stand on naps?
Naps. I love naps.
Culturally, it's funny, the older you get, basically life just surrounds the possibility of the occasional nap.
The occasional doze off. This is great. Don't nap for too long. That's the key thing here, because you don't want to wake up in the middle of a sleep cycle. Otherwise, you'll feel terrible. I'm sure it's happened to people. So NASA have researched this. 26 minutes is the sweet spot. I know you're going to time that, by the way, but you know, 15, 20 minute nap, not too close to bedtime.
So the perfect nap, 26 minutes.
Perfect nap is 26 minutes.
Tom, thank you so much. That is Tom Coleman, who is sleep expert and host of the Sleep and Health Podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.